Yeah. Yeah. Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by a brand new book called Justified by Law and Conflict. That's a new novel by Spencer Leonard Smith. It's about a rogue Los Angeles police cop organization that terrorized the streets of LA. The community decided to fight back and protect themselves from that evil system of white supremacy. So check out the book, Justified by Law and Conflict by Spencer Leonard Smith, available on Amazon right now. So ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff going on in the country right now. Let everybody know that we're live right now because we got a lot to discuss about what's going on in DC right now. We're going to take a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. You don't move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin. Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game. Jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps. Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary...
Have you ever thought about getting into credit repairing? We have everything you need to start a life-changing credit repair business. Zero experience needed. This software makes it incredibly easy to launch, run, and grow your very own profitable credit repair business or to add an entirely new revenue stream to your existing business. Run your own credit repair business effortlessly. 100% risk-free trial with no hassle one-click cancellation at any time. Go to fixcreditsoftware.com. That's fixcreditsoftware.com.
What's going on, family? Are you looking for a job right now or you know somebody who is in need of a job? Then visit acandle.com. Due to COVID-19 right now, so many millions of people are out of work, and acandle.com has online jobs where you can work right now from your own home. Don't wait. Go to acandle.com right now so you can find your online job. That's A-K-A-N-D-L-E.com. As foundational Black Americans, we're getting closer to receiving our tangibles, but white supremacists are becoming increasingly more aggressive. So it's important that we as a collective of Black people protect ourselves in hostile and vulnerable situations. Go visit the website darkblack.me and purchase the gun safety training and marksmanship instruction videos right now. That's darkblack.me right now. Listen close, California family. Are you struggling with health insurance costs? Not sure if you can afford a decent health plan? Call Calendar Insurance Services at 866-200-2247. They are the experts when it comes to the health and the life insurance needs of Californians. So again, go to www.callenderinsurance.com or call 866-200-2247. Check out the brand new book, Reporting Live from Jim Crow, Ida B. Wells. It's a brand new book by author E.J. Wade. This book destroys the sanitized narrative of Ida B. Wells, and it presents her as the foundational Black American hero that she really was. This book also accurately covers the overthrow of Reconstruction, and it talks about the events that led to the removal of our sister Ida B. Wells from history. So check out this book right now, Reporting Live from Jim Crow, available now at Amazon.com, paperback, or Kindle.
It's being described as a thrilling ride, filled with suspense, a book you won't put down, an absolute page-turner. Buy the new book, War of the Heart, an Occam Jeffers novel, today at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Audiobook currently on sale at Google Play and Apple. Visit spiritof1811publishing.com for more details. Black first.
What's going on, family? Don't let COVID-19 keep you from achieving your health and fitness goals, because your health is cut from the same cloth as your wealth. Be the best version of yourself with Salomon's Gym products and services. You get customized online training made just for you. Salomon has ankle, thigh, and power bands to stretch and strengthen and tone your whole body while burning fat when you train. Buy any three products, get one free ankle resistant band. Go to SalomonsFitnessWorld.com, enter the coupon code Tariq, and save 10% off on your order. That's SalomonsFitnessWorld.com. Are you looking for 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products, including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all five products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. What is going on, guys? Welcome, welcome to the broadcast today. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I think this is the first Tariq Radio broadcast that's available on iTunes and all the podcast sites. This is the first one of the year. So we're here. We're here. It's going to be a doozy. A lot to talk about today, guys. Now, for those who are following what's going on today, a lot of stuff is going on. We had an election. Was the election yesterday? The election was yesterday for the Senate. And now today, there was a damn coup attempt, a Confederate coup attempt. And when I say Confederate, I mean white supremacists. The white supremacists did what everybody knew they were going to do. They were going to go to D.C. and show up and show out, and that's exactly what they did. The white supremacists pulled through. They stormed the United States Capitol building today. People keep saying the MAGA crowd and all that. I just say white supremacists. I'm not going to put it on a political party. Just the white supremacists. They done ran up in there. They stormed the building. No National Guard has been dispersed at all. They said the National Guard was coming. I don't know if they're even there yet. But for hours, and we're still going in. I mean, we're still in the middle of this right now. We're still getting new revelations as I speak. That's why it took me a while to get the broadcast going today, because so much stuff is going on. One of the suspected white supremacists, a woman who went in there, she got shot. She just died literally minutes ago. They just announced she died. So the white supremacists are going to really turn up a little bit later on that. So we got to keep our eyes open. But the alt-lice and all of the other white supremacists and the MAGA crowd and all of those folks, they turned up and they had a green light to turn up. they had a green light. And now I see a lot of the left wingers all belly aching. Oh my God, how can this happen? All democracy. Oh, the MAGA crowd. Donald Trump is so evil to incite this. This is horrible. Nothing like this has happened since the 1800s. Because the white supremacists ran all up in the Capitol building with very little resistance, by the way. There was very little resistance. It wasn't that difficult for them to run up in there. And people are really comparing the response to these white supremacists running up in the U.S. Capitol building. They're comparing that to the way they respond to black people stealing a honey bun out of Walmart doing a protest. See, when a black person is alleged, you don't even have to prove a black person looted something. If they allege a black person took something during a protest out of a store, if they took some toilet paper or whatever, we get the armored vehicles, we get the drones, we get the billions of dollars of military weaponry pointed directly at black folks. They start using rubber bullets, smoke bombs, everything under the sun. But with the MAGA crowd and the white supremacists, none of that. And a lot of people are showing the hypocrisy, but it's just not really hypocrisy. It's just white supremacy. They've never used the National Guard and all that stuff on white supremacist society. The closest they got to that was the 60s when they would walk black kids to school, when the federal government would not let white supremacists lynch black kids. The white supremacists was like, oh, hell no. How dare you infringe on my rights? That's the closest thing that the military has come to targeting white supremacy by not letting them lynch black kids going to school in the 60s. That's the closest thing. And they've been mad about that ever since. How dare the military infringe on my rights? See, freedom means to them, freedom means we get to do whatever the hell we want to do as white supremacists. And see, this is what we've been telling everybody, family. All of the military vehicles, all of the billions and billions of dollars in spending for riot gear and all of these tanks and all of this tear gas and all of these rubber bullets, all of that money for those domestic military weapons, that's for you. Black folks, that is not for the white people. That is not for them at all. That is for you. As we see, you can't get no bolder, you can't get more insurrectionist than to storm the United States Capitol building. They ran up in there and they're all up in Nancy Pelosi's office. They didn't ran up in the people's office. They all up behind people's desk taking pictures. Baked Alaska, little racist ass, he was up there too. We've been warning people about these white supremacists for years. All of the card-carrying white supremacists are there, showing out. They're in there taking stuff, looting stuff. They're in there showing out. They've been emboldened. See, they sat up here and let these white supremacists storm Capitol buildings all over the country and didn't punish them. See, this is where black folks don't fall for the Democrats acting all surprised and shocked. No. We're not going to give them no comfort. Don't let them weasel their way out of this, because the white Democrats are just as complicit with this damn mess that's going on right now. They're just as complicit. You understand? Because let me tell you something. The Democrats sat here and emboldened these race soldiers working in law enforcement. All of the black folks who were shot around the country, most of these killings were done in Democrat-run cities. Hell, just yesterday they announced that they're not going to file charges against that officer who shot Jacob Blake, shot him in the back 7 times. They're not going to prosecute that race soldier. And isn't Kenosha, if I'm not mistaken, that's a Democrat-run city too, right? If I'm not mistaken. So these Democrat prosecutors, these Democrat DAs, these Democrat mayors, they sit up here and just turn a blind eye to all of these card-carrying race soldiers that are in law enforcement in their city. They sat here and did nothing. They knew that law enforcement was infiltrated by a white supremacy. They did nothing about it, just as long as we, black people, were the ones being targeted. As long as we were the ones being targeted, that was cool. So now, the whole white supremacist MAGA crowd, they're turning on the police. The police is shooting them. Not in large numbers, though. And now all hell has broken loose, and now the Democrats want to sit around and act shocked. No, Democrats, you are complicit. And let's be very clear. The reason why this stuff was able to go on in D.C. is because law enforcement is in on it. The mayor tried to call for the National Guard. They were trying to call for the National Guard. The National Guard refused to come out. I don't know what the status is now, but this stuff has been going on for hours out there in D.C. The National Guard refused to come out. That Negress mayor, I heard some of the MAGA folks are trying to go to her house now. See, y'all better be careful, y'all black elected officials out there. Let me say this. A lot of y'all coon congressional black caucus Negroes, y'all better be careful now, because now that they done ran up in the Senate building, I mean in the U.S. Capitol building, now that they done run up in there, it's nothing for them to run up in your house now. I've been hearing out there in D.C., they about to go to the mayor's house. So all you black elected officials who've been out here white ass kissing and not doing a damn thing for black folks, don't turn to us now. Because law enforcement clearly ain't going to help you. So do not, y'all can't turn to us. See, this is why cooning don't pay. You understand? This is why being a mammy and a Sambo, this is why it doesn't pay. Because see, when the white supremacists turn on your ass, then all of a sudden you want to put on your koofy and start looking over here to us when you wouldn't do a damn thing for us ever since you've been in office. Don't look over here at us right now. Don't look over here at us right now. Hold your own nuts. You understand? So these white supremacists are going to start getting bold all around the country. Now, right here in Los Angeles, downtown L.A., there's about 50 or so MAGA folks out there downtown. That's not a problem. We ain't tripping on that. They know where to go and where not to go. You know, they're trying to get this thing cranking all over the country. Yeah, the MAGA crowd, they know where to go and where not to go. They're not about to go south of that damn 110, I mean, south of the 10 freeway. They know where to go and where not to go. And this ain't our fight. We ain't about to go up there getting into that mix. But if they do happen to wander down past that 10 freeway, then we got a problem. And that problem can be handled very easily. So nobody out here is tripping on that at all. You understand? But as long as they up there downtown doing what they need to do with the police, knock yourself out. But the minute you pass Adams, now it's another thing that's going to go down. And they know better. They know better. But I digress. But Democrats, you are complicit in this nonsense too. I've been looking at video of all the stuff that's going on up here in D.C. The police are clearly helping these white supremacists. People are like, why didn't the National Guard come? The National Guard is there already. They're helping the white supremacists. Some of those white supremacists are with the National Guard. Law enforcement is helping those folks. That's the price that you pay for letting criminals infiltrate law enforcement. See, that's how crime works. When you have a criminal mentality, anything goes. You understand? And another thing about this whole situation, as easily as they infiltrated the Capitol building, some of the foreign terrorists, I mean, this leaves the United States very vulnerable right now, because you got basically a semi-civil war going on right now. There's a semi-civil war. So if there's a foreign terrorist out here, for a foreign terrorist organization, they're looking at Washington, D.C. like a piece of meat right now. It's like, oh, you guys are real vulnerable right now. You guys are real weak. It was that easy to just walk up in the Capitol building? Hell, if it was that easy, we could have just followed a couple of the white supremacists and threw some bombs here and there. And from what I understand, some of the people who went up in there had some pipe bombs on them. You understand? This thing is real heavy. And another thing, notice how the white supremacists handle their business. They don't wait on legislation and all that stuff. They don't sit around and let people tell them, let the system work it out. When the system, as they feel, has done them wrong, when they feel like the system has done them wrong, they know not to wait around for that same system to come to its senses. See, this is something you can learn from these damn white supremacists about how to get on code. Enough of these white supremacists got on code. They don't like how the system was running. They said, we're not going to wait on the system to change itself. We're going to go out here and change the damn system for them. Notice, no twerking. Nobody singing. Notice that? You didn't see nobody twerking. Nobody singing. No niggas popping bussy. You understand? Nobody auditioning, no silly shit. They went up there to handle business. Good, bad, right, or wrong. I'm just telling you how they're getting shit knocked out. See, they didn't wait on the law. They understood that they are the law, and we have to understand that too. The law is you. You are the law. You understand? You are the law. We got to understand that as people. We don't wait on the law to change. You are the law. You can make the damn law change. This is why they don't want us getting on code. When we get on code, we can start making things happen. We become the law. And nobody's talking about nonviolence. See, that stuff, that only works with us. They start talking nonviolence to us. But I want you to notice how everything went down. No agent groups running around in circles, shooting each other like Scam Master J and all these folks. Nobody's out there on some obvious agent shit walking around in circles with none of that. None of that. They had a mission and they were bold enough to execute their mission. Because enough of them are on code. See, that's the importance of having a code. Notice out here in the streets with these white supremacists running around, there is no one leader. Now, some people could say that Donald Trump is the leader, but these white supremacists, there's no leader in these white supremacists right now. There's not one person calling the shots, really. There's not one person calling the shots. They're out here handling it because the code is the leadership. They have a code and they have an agenda and they figured out, well, we know what to do in order to disrupt this system. You understand? That's how we have to understand how power works. Because when there's a corrupt system, you have to become the law. And when enough of us are on code, we can start changing things on our own terms. See, that's how power works, family. An example of power, our brother down in Mississippi, Brother Deshaun Douglas, and I talked about this on Sunday, a brother named Deshaun Douglas had to defend himself from a white supremacist neighbor who attacked him. Now, this white supremacist neighbor already had a stay away order from Deshaun Douglas's family because he was known to harass the family before. This white supremacist suspect came over harassing, spitting on the brother, and then he attacked the brother, and then the brother stood his ground, and the brother let that thing off and killed those suspected white supremacists. And those little hicks down there in that little small town in Mississippi, they arrested the brother and charged him with first degree murder. Now, this is where we came in. This is what I mean by us being on code. We made that story international because the national media was not touching that story. That story was sent to me. My sister Dee Tubman sent me that because I think they reached out to her. I want to say it was somebody from the family. Dee Tubman, are you in the room right now? I want to see if you're in the chat room. I think somebody from Deshaun Douglas's family was trying to get in touch with me, but they got in touch with Dee, and they specifically wanted me to get on their story. So I got the story. The national media wasn't touching it because, again, they stay on code. I told y'all how the national white media, they stay on code with these little white supremacist enclaves and keep things quiet. That's how they get away with a lot of little dirtbag stuff, by doing things under the radar where nobody can see them. Nobody knows about these little janky deals that go on in these little cities. So we got the story. I blew that story up. I tweeted about it. I reminded people about the laws. I start telling people, hey, we need to get the name of the prosecutor. We need to get the name of the sheriff who put those charges out there. And we blew that thing up on an international level. We put a lot of pressure on them, and they released that brother. Do y'all know that? They released that brother. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. They released that brother yesterday. And in the news down there, they actually said why they had to release him, because of the pressure from us. And in the news article, they actually, or not the news article, but the news report on the local news down there, they actually showed my tweets and the stuff that I said, and they admitted that it was because of the pressure from us, foundational Black American grassroots. That was the reason why they had to let that brother go for right now. They haven't dropped the charges yet, and they have not set a court date, but they let him out on a first-degree murder charge. That's us being on code. That's how the Black grassroots is supposed to work. See, we got to start putting a face on these white supremacists. So we're looking into them dropping the charges. Yeah, they let that brother out. Thanks to you guys. See, I don't even, people try to give me all the credit. It was thanks to you too, because there were some sisters who drove over there. I think they drove through from Texas, and they were out there with those stand your ground signs outside of the sheriff's department. So the grassroots really got busy on this, because they know they should not have charged that brother in the first place. They know they shouldn't have charged him. Not only should they not have charged him, because they have so many stand your ground laws, castle doctrine laws, no duty to retreat laws out there in Mississippi. That brother was all within his rights to defend himself. That brother had every single right to defend himself. And also the fact that they charged him with first degree murder was some janky nonsense too, because first degree murder, it's a very narrow window that you're supposed to use to be charged with first degree murder. That wasn't for first degree murder. Usually implies something that was premeditated. So even the first degree murder charge was bogus. But the thing is, when you get these little hick town folks, I think the prosecutor out there, his name is Bubba Bryant, something like that. And that prosecutor out there, he already is being sued, because we did some research on Bubba. He's already being sued by some sisters out there because of falsely accusing Black folks of some other crime. So he's already being sued right now. And the sheriff, he's been accused of little racist tactics out there as well. So when you start blowing up the spot of these suspected white supremacists who do this little devious stuff, they start scurrying. See, this is why we have to stop talking about white supremacy in the abstract. That's why I tell y'all, when stuff start going on, when little janky stuff like this, when brothers and sisters are getting falsely charged and we're getting all these crazy white supremacist policies and edicts charged at us, we need to get the names of these prosecutors, get the names of these sheriffs, get the names of these police chiefs. We have to put a face to the white supremacy. We got to put a face to it, see? Because see how white supremacy is allowed to fester. They let the code speak for everything, and then the white supremacists, they do little dirty things behind closed doors. What's the name of that city, guys? What's the name of that town out there in Mississippi? I can't recall the name of the town right now. But we have to put a face on these folks. And when we start putting a face on them and making them hold that white supremacy, Rankin County, there it is, Rankin County. Like I told you guys, when you focus on a problem, the solution is going to come up. When you focus on a problem, the solution is going to come up. And when you show that a particular white supremacist is the problem, all the solutions are going to come up on how to handle that problem. And they love to hide their white supremacy behind the system. No, you are the system. And you're going to own what you're doing. And if you sit here raping the law and not abiding by the Constitution, we're going to get you up out the paint. So that's why anytime something goes down with a lot of brothers and sisters, I get on the phone and I start finding out who's the damn chief of police, who's the sheriff deputy. Let me talk to that nigga. Let me talk to that person and let them know how this shit is going to go down. We are the law. See, we got to stop all this twerking and singing and talent show nonsense and start going for the gusto and finding out who's actually putting charges on folks and who's not putting charges on folks, who's green lighting a lot of this nonsense. See, we have to be the law. That's why I tell y'all, just give me the name of somebody who's putting this shit together. I'm not going to be out here talking about one day we shall overcome. Oh, no justice, no peace. I ain't doing no damn no justice, no peace. Who's the damn prosecutor? And what's his goddamn phone number? That's what I want to know. We're going to get something done. If a brother or sister get attacked by a white supremacist and they're locking brothers and sisters up, damn all that singing, give me the sheriff's number. And let's find a bail bondsman. We are the law. We can make stuff happen on our own. We're going to get these cats up out of that thing. See, that we got to get codified, man. We got too many of our brothers and sisters wallowing in jail, and we're going to have to get that shit about the mix. We are the damn law. We're going to have to stop this plantation nonsense on our own. Yeah, somebody in the chat room said, this is like the purge being activated. Yes, we are. We're in the beginning of the purge, so y'all better be ready. We are the law. We are the law. It's just that simple. And the thing is, a lot of black folks are afraid to think like that because, see, you don't want to get on no white person's bad side. See, that the thought of that scares a lot of Negroes. A lot of Negroes don't want to get on any white person's bad side. They think, well, in order to get something done, you got to get the white person to like them. Hell no. That's why so many scared Negroes get mad at me, because I go in on white supremacy. I get on the phone with a police sheriff and curse them the fuck out and tell them you gonna let somebody out of jail tonight because I already got the bail bondsman and you gonna drop some damn charges today, or we gonna blow your whole spot up by exposing all the racists within your damn department and launch a damn investigation. I'm not trying to be friends with none of these assholes. This is not plantation time, but we're trying to be on some kumbaya. I'm talking about power. Power is about telling people what this shit is going to be, not whether or not they decide to be nice enough to give it to us. No. Y'all better understand how power works and start banging on these assholes and let them know what the hell is going to be. We're sitting up here waiting on white supremacists to come around and get their mind right. Man, these white supremacists are on the march, dude. And you see how they get down. You see how bold they are. We got to have that same bold mentality to protect ourselves from them. But see, we got a lot of voteps right now. See, voteps are Negroes who just vote for the sake of voting, as we see. And a lot of Negroes help, you know, the Democrats get back control of the Senate. A lot of these black folks went out here voting for nothing. They went out here voting for nothing. And a lot of black folks don't even know why they're voting right now. And let's be true. Let's be clear. A lot of the backlash that we're seeing today is because of the Democratic wins that happened yesterday. So there's a lot of backlash because of that too. But when you talk to the black people who went out here voting, nobody can give you a real clear reason why they actually went out and voted. Because let's be clear, let's talk turkey here. there's a lot of black folks out here who don't really want tangibles. See, when people like me, we're talking about getting tangibles. See, a lot of black folks will sit up and say, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. But deep down, they don't want no tangibles. Let's be clear. There's a lot of black folks who do not want any tangibles. Why? Because to them, white approval is a tangible. To some of these Negroes, white approval, getting a white person to pat you on the head or get a white person to be nice to you, that right there is tangible enough. That's more valuable than damn gold. Let's keep it a buck. A lot of these niggas put so much value on white approval. They put a lot of value on that, man. They'll exchange that for money. Money is secondary to some damn white approval. We're going to have to be very honest. That's why so many Negroes was out here still supporting the Democrats, knowing you're not going to get anything, because just the temporary approval is good enough. Just the temporary approval. That VOTEP, them VOTEPs want to pat on their head because they understand what the white supremacists like. And white supremacy, they understand what these Negroes like. See, the white supremacists, they understand deep down in a lot of black people, there's that plantation gene in your DNA that's been whipped into your DNA. There's a plantation gene in a lot of black folks, and white people know how to tap into it. They know how to tap into that ancestral memory that's in a lot of black folks. And we got to understand, during slavery, you had two types of black people. The black people who did not want to be on that plantation and wanted their freedom. And then you had black people who were perfectly fine with it. So they just know, they know how to tap into that gene of the black folks who came from the stock of people who were perfectly fine with being on the plantation. This is why white supremacists, they use a lot of plantation imagery to get certain black folks motivated. Look at the plantation imagery. Who do they get to help stump for them? The Stacey Abrams, the plantation mammy. Stacey Abrams is just like a modern mammy, guys. That's really it. They parade her around and the mammy whips everybody into shape. Y'all's gonna do what Massa tells you now. Just like they used to do in slavery, they would get the big mammy and parade that mammy around, and mammy would get all the niggas in line, and then they would go get Uncle Remus, which is Clyburn, Jim Clyburn, who looks like goddamn Uncle Remus. Jim Clyburn looks like every Uncle Remus, Uncle Ben, Uncle Tom stereotype. There's a reason why they got a nigga who looked just like that. Who looks and sounds like that. Oh, Lord, now we shouldn't be talking about no dip on the police now. Oh, Lord, no, we shouldn't talk like that now. Defunding the police, that's just not feasible now. They know what they're doing when they get Negroes like that. Mammies and Uncle Toms and Uncle Remuses, they know what they're doing. And then they get the... What else did they have on the plantations? Dancing pickaninnies. You know, they would get the younger black folks to dance around to entertain the white people. They were entertainment to white people. They would get them to dance and twerk, and that's where the Kamalas come in. Kamala goes out here dancing around and twerking, and then they get all these other mammies, these little Jezebels twerking at the protests. Whenever we are trying to stand up against white supremacy, they get these little bed wenches out here to start twerking. They know how to bring out the bed wenches and the Jezebels, the white zaddy worshipers, like Kamala, by the way. Kamala has her white zaddy at home, so they know how to bring out the bed wenches and the twerkers and let them work a little something. And then they know how to bring out the food to get Negroes motivated. Guys, have y'all seen all of these cities where they're offering Negroes food to vote? And it's like plantation food. Out there in Georgia, They were out there giving away free collard greens. They have the Collard Greens Coalition out there in Georgia, giving free collard greens, cornbread, black eyed peas, just like Jim Clyburn was out there giving out free catfish nuggets. They are tapping into that plantation gene, giving Negroes that warm, fuzzy feeling that we're just one big old happy plantation family. Family, listen to this report. This is a news report from, when did this come out? Last week, talking about the voter drive. Now, this is them. Listen to this.
Thursday's downpour didn't stop dozens of people from showing up for the Black Voters Matter and the Greater Augusta's Interfaith Coalition's Collard Green Caucus. Organizers gave out collard greens, black eyed peas, and cornbread to 400 families as part of an African American tradition to bring in the new year. But it was also an effort to get voters to the polls.
So they're out there literally giving out collard greens, black eyed peas, and cornbread. And Negroes are showing up with their eyes bucking. Oh, Lord, I was going to have to vote now. Ooh, I was going to get a whole heap of cornbread and collard greens. This is them understanding the plantation dynamic in a lot of these Negroes. Let's keep it a buck. They don't want, if a Negro is out here bucking his eyes for some damn collard greens, this is a person who don't want no damn empowerment. Because empowerment means there's going to have to be responsibility. You can't depend on white mommy and white daddy. You got to go out here and get it on your own. So white mommy and white daddy ain't going to take care of you no more. That's scary to a lot of Negroes. Oh, Lord, what's I's going to do? What is I's going to do? I's going to lose my pension? It's that type of thing. Negroes love the security of being up under white mommy, white daddy. We're going to have to keep that shit a buck and acknowledge it, man. Nobody, a lot of these Negroes don't want no tangibles. They don't want no empowerment. They don't want white mommy and white daddy to just kind of give them something and say, okay, hey, you're on your own. They don't want that, man. Let's keep it a buck. And let me play, there's a reverend here. This nigga sounds, whoa, this nigga sounds like something straight out of Roots. Hold on,
We want people to vote their conscience, we want people to vote their interest, and we want people to vote.
Some voters say their vote could make a difference in what's expected to be a close race.
To make a difference, to make change for my future, my grandkids.
I vote.
Listen how these Negroes are talking. When you ask them, what are you voting for? They can't really give a real answer. It's some real vague, I just want some change. It's just a change that to make a difference. You know, just change. I don't know. You're just change. You don't even know why you vote. You're voting to hope, for hope and you know, for the goodness of the community. Niggas don't even know what they're voting for. And that's the sad thing. You can't give a tangible reason why you're voting. Hold on.
Make change for my future, my grandkids.
I voted just for a big change.
Organizers say a lot is on the line.
Why are you voting, sir? I don't. We got to get on out here. And we got to get out. We got to vote like we never voted before. But what you voting for? We didn't vote. We're voting for some change. Change for what? Just change for the better. Change for what? Better for what? Better for the future. For my children. What? You're vague, nigga. What are you talking about? Niggas just doing shit to be doing it. You can't even give a tangible reason why you're voting. It's like, no, you don't want to change. No, you voting just so you can stay on the goddamn plantation. That's why you voting.
This critical race, which will decide which party will control the U.S. Senate.
This election is very vital because Medicare is on the line, Social Security on the line, VA benefit is on the line, health care is on the line, a whole lot of items that affect everyday bread and butter issues that human beings face every day in America is on the line. This is not an Augusta problem. This is not a Georgia. This is a universal issue.
Oh, Lord, this nigga sounds like Uncle Remus.
Everything on the health care, we're going to get the Medicaid, the dental program, my pension.
This nigga talk, nigga babble. This is the kind of, this is who they pander to. That plantation-minded Negro. This is who they, that they understand, the white supremacists know they're Negros. The white supremacists know they're Negros. This is who they pander to.
There's a lot of Social Security. There's a lot of Social Security on the line.
Stop it. a lot of these folks don't want no tangibles, man. They don't want to rub white people the wrong way. They do not want to rub white folks the wrong way, guys. They want to stay on the good side of the white peoples. Because a lot of these Negroes got these jobs where they have to see white people every day and they got to be nice to white people, and white people have to be in a good mood, and they don't want white people to be in a bad mood. Because white people be in a bad mood, white people might come and lay them off. So they can, we can't mix the white people's angry now because I just got to go to work. I don't want to mess up my pension now. We can't mix the white people angry. So when there's a big election or something, they want to go in there and be able to coon it up. See, that's the thing. They want to be able to go in there with their I voted sticker. Hey, Miss Molly, I voted for Biden because we need that though security, because we is all one big family. I don't know what them young folks out there, that Black Lives Matter and all that thing there, I don't know what they're talking about, but we's all one good peoples, and I don't want to defund no damn police. Y'all better understand, when these Negroes get around white folks at the job, they be cutting the rug with the tap dancing. When these niggas get around the white people at the job, these niggas be buck dancing so damn hard. Oh, they be buck dancing heavy. That's why they don't ever talk about anything about empowerment. When you start talking about empowerment, them niggas, they start talking down and start changing the subject the minute you, younger folks, start talking about anything that's going to empower you. Well, hey, granddad, you know, I'm trying to get, you know, I kind of want some reparations and some tangibles so I can start a business. You don't get tangible. What do you talking about tangibles? All y'all gonna do is go out there and buy some Air Jordans and everything like that. Y'all ain't no. Y'all just gonna get y'all a good job somewhere, find you some good white peoples, and everything is gonna be good. Y'all just stop, pull your pants up. Yeah, that's all you got to do. If you put your pants up like that, you're sagging all the witchy way and everything like that. They start buck dancing and cooning. But that plantation dynamic, see, this is what they like to promote. This, did y'all see that new Beats by Dre commercial? And shout out to Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre had a brain aneurysm. From what I understand, Dr. Dre is fine now. He's fine. I think he's still in the hospital. But yeah, they said he had a brain aneurysm, and hopefully he's going to pull through. Some people who's have corresponded with him, they said that he's pretty stable right now. And y'all know how I feel about them aneurysms, by the way, guys. I'm always kind of side-eyeing some of those aneurysms because some of those things can be induced. You know, when if you get an aneurysm, it's hard to trace where it came from. You understand? Our brother Johnny Cochran, you know, I want to say he died because of an aneurysm. I know Khalid Muhammad died because of a brain aneurysm. So those aneurysms, when I hear about that, I'm like, okay. Let me get some more information about that now. Let me get some more information about that. But hopefully my brother Dr. Dre is going to be all right. Hopefully he's going to be good. But yeah, if you get $1 billion and all of a sudden you get a brain aneurysm, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to put the tinfoil koofy on for a minute. If you get access to $1 billion and all of a sudden you get a brain aneurysm and your crazy ex-wife is out here trying to get you for your paper, all right. I don't want to have to put the tinfoil koofy on, but you know. But I digress. But they got a new Beats by Dre commercial, and there was a girl in there, Flo Millie, is a sister. She kind of does some internet stuff. She had like a couple of viral internet videos, and the video was basically her getting out the car. She was in a car. She pulled up to a Confederate statue. They had her get out the car, look at the statue. She had these long ass eyelashes, batting her eyes, kind of bucking her little eyes. And then she started dancing and twerking in front of the statue. Oh God, it was so cringy and corny. It was extremely cringy and corny. She's looking at the statue, looking at the Confederate flag. She starts dancing. She turns around and does a little lightweight twerk. And the end caption was like, "Flex that clap back. Get the new Beats by Dre." And everybody in black society is looking at each other like, what the fuck does flex that clapback mean? First of all, what the hell does that mean? Oh, the commercial was horrible. And this just goes to show a lot of those folks who are out there twerking in front of statues, those are Negroes who are sent by the Democrats. These are Democratic operatives, these nonprofit LGBT groups and all of these folks, they send these twerking Negroes out there because that's a way to divert the energy. Put Negroes out there twerking and shaking ass. That's a way to divert the energy. So corporate America, that's the image, and that's the way they want black people to respond to white supremacist terrorism, to turn around and toot your ass up. Which is basically surrendering, guys. I done told you. I talked about ratchet activism on my last broadcast Sunday. Twerking in the face of violent white supremacy and shaking your ass, that's you surrendering. There's no other way to cut that. You're surrendering when you do that. You are surrendering when you do that. Now, this whole flex that clap back, that's some white executives who the Apple organization, they hired some white ad agency, and this ad agency had a bunch of white people at the board meeting, and they probably had a couple of immigrant tethers in the room. They probably had a couple of immigrant tethers in there co-signing that, because a foundational black American would have raised his hand and said, hey, wait a minute, flex that clapback, that shit don't make no sense. So I can guarantee it was white people in that board meeting and a couple of immigrant tethers in that damn room. And the white executive, they start looking at certain slang that black people use. Well, they say, hey, I'm flexing on them. Let me see, what other things do we use? What other things do black people use? Flexing, dope, jiggy, no. What are some of the newer terms that they use? Okay, they went down a list of certain words and terms. Okay, it's crunk, it's lit. Okay, clap back, okay. Flex, okay. Rowdy, hype, dope, deaf, fresh. Okay, so let's put some of these words together. How about we'll get clapback? Let's say, how about flex that clapback? That's exactly what happened. This shit don't even make no sense. But that's the same thing as Jive Turkey in the 70s. Family, for my younger folks, I know y'all heard us joke about the term Jive Turkey. That's a term that was used a lot in 70s movies. But do you know, in reality, black people never use the term jive turkey in real life. I've never, ever, 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 ever heard a black person in real life use the term jive turkey. That was never a term that black people used in real life. That term was used damn near exclusively in 70s movies written by white producers and directors. Nobody used the term jive turkey. What they did, because blaxploitation took off so fast and a lot of white producers wanted to get in on the wave, they started looking at a lot of words that black people were using in urban America. So black people would use the term turkey. Hey man, stop being a turkey, man. Get out of here, turkey. But they weren't saying jive turkey. Some black folks might call you, hey, get out of here, this turkey is crazy. Yo, get out of here, turkey. And black people would use the word jive, like, man, stop jiving me, man. You full of jive, brother. Don't jive me, sucker. You know, it was like that. So the white producers was like, hey, let's get the word jive. They like to say jive. And let's get the word turkey. Let's put jive and turkey together. Hey, you jive turkey. Hey, you jive turkey, sucker. That's literally what they did. Shit don't make no sense in real life. Just like dynamite. Nobody said dynamite. Dynamite, even Jimmy Walker and those guys, that was something that white writers wrote for good times. They would write all this old crazy stuff and make it seem like it became a part of black vernacular. dynamite. Nobody black said no damn dynamite. Nobody said no shit like that. So that was a big thing in the 70s. A lot of white writers, not even in the 70s, because going all the way back to Amos and Andy, remember, Amos and Andy started off as two white men pretending to be black on the radio. That's what Amos and Andy was. It was a bunch of white dudes, a couple of white dudes pretending to be black on the radio, using all of this made up crazy slang that was supposed to be black vernacular. You then? And speaking of made up, family, y'all girl Kamala, family, y'all home girl Kamala. Kamala again is trying to get her black credentials. Family, we see how Kamala Harris has a history because she has zero black credentials, how she tries to make up history. We saw the infamous Kwanzaa story, how her Indian family, according to her, was sitting around celebrating Kwanzaa when she was a kid, which makes zero sense. We've heard her lies about how she was in college listening to Tupac. Remember when she said that? They asked her, what were you listening to in college? Oh, I was listening to Tupac. For sure, Tupac. And then somebody started doing some calculations, like, wait a minute, when you were in college, Tupac's albums weren't even out. So this woman has gotten caught in so many damn lies trying to create these black credentials. Family, she did they pulled up an article she did in, I think, in Elle magazine, like a month or so ago. This is Elle magazine. And this is the story she told in Elle magazine. It says, Senator Harris has started her life's work young. She laughs from her gut the way you would with family, and she remembers being wheeled through an Oakland, California civil rights march in a stroller with no straps with her parents and her uncle. At some point, she fell from the stroller, and the adults, caught up in the rapture of the protest, kept on marching. By the time they noticed little Kamala was gone, they doubled back, and she was understandably upset. Kamala says, my mother tells me the story about how I'm fussing, Harris says. She's like, look, baby, what do you want? What do you need? And I just looked up to her and I said, freedom, spelled F-W-E-E-D-O-M. I said, freedom. I want freedom. Okay. So this is Kamala talking about she was at a civil rights march with her East Indian family and she wanted freedom. Now, somebody said, wait a minute, hold on, that story sounds familiar. Family, in 1965, Dr. Martin Luther King did an interview with Playboy magazine. In the article from 1965, Dr. King says, I will never forget a moment in Birmingham when a white policeman accosted a little Negro girl, 7 to 8 years old, who was walking in a demonstration with her mother. What do you want? The policeman asked her gruffly. And the little girl looked him straight in the eye and said, freedom. She couldn't even pronounce it, but she knew it was beautiful. Family, your girl Kamala Harris stole and plagiarized a goddamn story from Dr. King. This woman then sat here and plagiarized a story from Dr. King. That's your girl right there. That is your girl right there. This woman is a piece of work. This is desperation. Next thing you know, she was going to be on the Edmund Pettus Bridge getting her little ass whooped when she was 4 years old, screaming, I'm going to feed them, and trying to flex that clap back for feed them. I mean, this thing is a train wreck. This woman is desperate for black credentials that she does not have because she did not grow up being raised as a black person. And they know this. This is why they keep having to piece together lies for this woman. That's y'all girl, though. Y'all went out and voted for her in droves because y'all, I want them changed. I want them changed. I just want them different. I want them freedom. I'm trying to flex that clap back on you, Jai Durkin. Sambo niggers. I'm so sick of the Sambo class out here. It's just disgraceful. Anyway, guys, let me get up out of here. I need to see what else is going on with these white supremacists out here up in Washington, D.C. All my D.C. folks, y'all be safe and y'all be ready. Y'all be ready to flex that clap back, my D.C. folks, and all around the country. Be ready to flex that clap back if these white supremacists try to get real goofy on you. You understand? Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Hey, go to officialfba.com. Get your Foundation of Black American flags, bandanas, and everything else. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. All right, y'all, I'm up out of here. I will holler at you guys Sunday. Peace.